speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you'll bless your word as it goes forth. Hide me behind the cross. Move me out of the way so that you can speak to your people. And as we hear, help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a world where people are obsessed with being seen, with being liked, with being followed, with being recognized, with being elevated. I was talking to a person not long ago, a young person, who told me it was her plan, it was her goal, it was her dream, her desire, and she was doing everything she could in her power to become an influencer. And I was like, who sets that as a career goal? But I came to find out that influencers make a lot of money. Just this week, I was listening on the radio, and they were saying that influencers were causing some problems because they were putting out some misinformation. But some of these influencers get paid $500 per post. And they're hired by firms when they want to flood the market with a certain idea, a certain information. People want to be on top. People want to be seen. People want status. They want success. They want the limelight and the spotlight. And the truth of the matter is, this is not a new phenomenon because people have always been like that. Always wanted to be recognized, always wanted a title, always wanted a position. But when we hear the words of Jesus, his words flip the script. His words stop us in our tracks. His words about leading and loving and being who God wants you to be is contrary to what many of us desire in the world. Jesus doesn't ask who can serve us. Jesus asked the question, who can we serve? Because he redefines kingdom greatness around not who is serving you, but how many people you are serving. And we have a master who didn't just preach it, he practiced it. He lived it out. He modeled for us what it means to be a servant. And so I'm convinced if we're going to be who God wants us to be, if we really are going to live our lives to be more like Jesus, if we're going to live in a way that confuses people so that when they see us and when they hear us, we sound so much like Jesus and we look so much like Jesus that they say, is that Jesus? Then I believe we're going to have to follow his footsteps in the area of serving. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to serve like Jesus served. How to serve like Jesus served. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching today, you can download an outline and find it on our church app, or you can go to goodhope.org and find one there. In Mark chapter 10, our foundational text, Jesus is interacting with the disciples, and two in particular, James and John, come to Jesus and ask Jesus for a favor. They want to hook up. Jesus, put one of us on your left hand and one of us on your right hand when you go into glory. Signifying positions of favor. Signifying positions of power. And Jesus listens to them and then challenges them. Because even back then, people desired positions and power that they may or may not have the integrity to maintain. And so here comes Jesus, And he basically says to them, listen, y'all are asking for some stuff that's not mine to give. But let me set an example for you so that you'll know what it means to follow me. How to serve like Jesus served. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, to serve like Jesus served, you must serve sacrificially. In this season to serve, I'm challenging all of you to serve, to be intentional, not accidental about serving. And to serve not just by yourself, but to find somebody else to serve with. I told you that my wife was inspired and told me she had 3 or 4 people that she was ready to call to get them involved and serving to help them grow spiritually. And I hope some of you were thinking and the Spirit of God was moving in your spirit to identify people who you know who need Jesus or need to grow in Jesus, who can benefit from serving and participating in the showing of the love of God to other people. Jesus says in verse 45, Mark chapter 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, it's interesting he uses the title there, the Son of Man, because that title points back to Daniel chapter 7. And if you get a chance, you can go back and read it in verses 13 and 14. The Son of Man is pictured as the glorious king who receives dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And so he identifies with a title that's used that signifies kingdom authority, kingdom responsibility, kingdom personality, but he inverts what is typically thought of the Son of Man and says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Here is Jesus basically saying, heaven served me before I came to earth. Angels worshiped me before I came to earth. I spoke and things came into existence before I came to earth. So I didn't come to earth to be served. I already had that in glory. He says, I have come to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Here's what Jesus wants you and I to understand. The purpose of his coming was to serve. Really threw the disciples off, y'all, because they thought he was coming to be a ruling and reigning king, and he came to be a suffering servant. And here's the challenge for us. See, all of us have egos. All of us have desires, even if they are unspoken in public places. We all want to be a scribe. We all want to be recognized. And Jesus said, but if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to follow me, then be the servant that I've been. And here's what you need to understand. Jesus didn't serve people because they deserved it. Jesus didn't serve people because it was convenient. Jesus didn't serve people because it was comfortable. He served people who misunderstood him. He served people who criticized him. He served people who used him. He served people who abandoned him. He served people all the way to the cross. Can I tell you the problem that many of us have when I say servant? See, when I say servant, you say, ouch. When I say servant, you say, no, servant, no, servant, no. And part of the reason is because you don't want to make that sacrifice. Some of you remember in 2023 when we began this culture shift here at our church and we identified the time that we were going to serve and serving was going to be done across the church, that some of y'all didn't serve because it wasn't convenient. Y'all were like, well, yeah, I'll serve if it's 9 to 10:30 so I can get it in between the time I sleep late on Saturday and the time I want to go to brunch, right? But otherwise, I know, And some of y'all, watch this. I'm going to make some of y'all laugh, including the ones who said it. Some of y'all came back and said, well, Pastor, they don't have any time for us to serve because it didn't fit in your schedule. And some of you remember when I stood up and said, no, we don't serve when it's convenient for us. We serve when the people need us to serve who we are going to serve for. That's when we go serve. Man, nobody needs you to serve when they don't need you to serve. You serve when people need you to serve. And I told y'all, if 2 o'clock in the morning is when somebody needs us, that gives us the greatest opportunity at 2 a.m. to be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world that God is calling us to be. So if you're going to serve like Jesus, you can't serve only when it's easy, when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, or when other people are going to notice you. Watch what Jesus says. Look at Philippians chapter 2, Paul, verse 7. Let's focus on that. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He emptied himself. His self got out of the way so he could be a servant. So he could give his life as a ransom for many. Here's the second thing I want you to see. See, real service is not about being seen. It's about showing Jesus. So watch the second thing. Number two, to serve like Jesus served, you must serve humbly. You must serve humbly. James and John, Mark chapter 10, are thinking about status. They're thinking about position. They're thinking about recognition. And when the other disciples hear what they're asking on the sly, they get mad. They get upset. And Jesus says, no, let me correct you. You tried to ask me in private, but let me correct you in public. So everybody will understand what I am expecting from you. He says in verse 43, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Whoever would be great. Let's redefine greatness. Now, here's the truth of the matter, y'all. None of us have a problem with being called a servant. It sounds so spiritual. It's just filled with, it just reeks of humility. I'm a servant. But here's the problem. When somebody treats you like a servant, bro, that flesh will rise up real quick. You'd be like, who they think they are? Acting like I'm a nobody. They better ask somebody. They don't know who I am. The world says greatness is having people under you. Jesus says greatness is serving the people around you. The world says greatness is how many people know your name. Jesus says greatness is how many people experience his love through your life. The world says greatness is about being served. Jesus says greatness is about serving. And let me just give you a contrasting image of this, right? A friend of mine worked as a waiter at a high-end restaurant. And he said, a star came in. I'm not going to name her because I don't want to pop anybody's balloons about them. But big star came in, and she acted like a donkey's rear end. Oh, demanding, horrible. I mean, talk to the staff bad, and just I'd be crazy. But they were okay with it because at the end of the night, she left a $5,000 tip. Now, I know some of y'all like, talk to me crazy, right? Contrast that. I was in Africa with Pastor Lusk. We were there in Tanzania at the Kempinski Hotel. And we were there about the second or third day. Some of the wait staff came to us. And a lady came to us. She said, are you all American? And we were like, yeah. And she said, I just wanted to check and make sure. So I'm like, why would you question whether we're American or not? She said, because y'all are so nice. She said, you all speak to us like we're somebody. You don't treat us like servants. She said, you all smile, you laugh, you talk to us. And she said, and Americans don't typically act like that. How do you live so that you become a picture of the change that Jesus has made in your life? See, the text says that Jesus, look at John 13, verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So think about this. Jesus knows the Father gave him all things. He came from God. He's going back to God. So watch this. He serves out of the security of who he is. He doesn't allow his insecurity to keep him from being his best self. Insecure people need titles. Jesus in John 13 picks up a towel and washes the feet of his servants, of his disciples. Insecure people need titles. Secure people can pick up a towel. Here's all I'm trying to tell you. Some of you don't want to serve, and it's not because there's something wrong with the people you're going to serve. The problem is who you're looking at in the mirror. Because if you think serving is beneath you, the problem is not the task is too low, the problem is you too high. See, Jesus shows us that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is using yourself to bless somebody else in Jesus' name. So here's what you end up basically saying. If Jesus could wash feet, can I wash feet? If Jesus touched the untouchables, can I touch the untouchables? If Jesus welcomed sinners, can I serve people? Can I welcome sinners? One of the signs of a dying church, y'all, is a dying church is inward focused. And here's the problem. When we become inward focused, we see the unchurched and the unsaved and the visitor as opposition instead of an opportunity. We see them as intruding on our spiritual social club instead of God bringing us a mission field so we can show them our love. Here's the third thing. That's a little convicting. Let's move on. Number three. You're going to serve like Jesus served. Third thing, to serve like Jesus served, you must serve redemptively. Redemptively. Everybody say redemptively. Let me put some redemption on it. For the Son of Man, verse 45, came not to be served, but to serve, here it is, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Circle that word ransom. The word ransom means to pay the price for something in order to set it free. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Here's what I need you to understand. Jesus did not die to be nice. Jesus did not give his life on the cross so people would think well of him. He died so that people could come to know him as Savior and Lord. And he served so people could experience his love so they would know that the love he showed them was the love that he was showing on the cross. Now, somebody may ask, why is that important, Pastor? Here's why. Our service has a redemptive purpose. Whenever you serve, you're not just serving to be nice. Some of y'all are not nice. You're not. But when you serve, you can be redemptive. Matthew 9:13, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He came to rescue sinners from bondage. He came to deliver us from sin. He came to bring us back to God. He came to pay what we could not pay. He came to do what we could not do. And the cross is the greatest act of service in human history. When we serve, our Christian service is not merely humanitarian, it's missional. Let me say that again for somebody. It's not merely humanitarian, it's missional. In other words, we're trying to help people know that you can get help in another place, but with Jesus, we can give you hope. Right? We want to serve people food, but we want to make sure they get the bread of life. We want to give them water, but we want to make sure that they know this is a place where they can get the living water. We want them to experience compassion, but we want them to know here you can find Christ. And wherever you go, that's what God wants you to be, to show them God's love so that they know the God who loves them is the same Jesus who died for them. My late pastor, Dr. R.A. Laws, pastor of my family home church, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, had as his goal, it was his dream for me to succeed him as pastor. And I told him I was going to Dallas to go to school. And he said, well, as soon as you graduate, bud, I want you to come back home. Got it all set up for you. And he told me, he said, now I'm not retiring. He said, but they're going to know when I close my eyes, you're going to be the next pastor. I said, yes, sir. About halfway through seminary, he got real sick and went back home and got a chance to go by and see him before he passed. He was in his hospital bed that they had put in the house. And we're talking, just exchanging some small talk. And I finally, towards the end of the conversation, said to him, pastor, I said, what would you say to a young preacher like me? Just getting started. What words of encouragement would you give me? And he said, I tell you, he said, whatever you do, he said, take folk by Calvary. I said, take them by Calvary. He said, take them by Calvary. He said, take them by the blood of the Lamb. He said, now, he said, giving out food is fine, but don't give out food without giving them Jesus. Giving them clothes is fine, but don't give them clothes without giving them Jesus. You got to be more than just a clothing distribution center. You got to be more than just a food pantry. You got to give folk Jesus. And then he felt some strength, and he took his hands from under the cover. He said, yes, take them by Calvary. He said, bud, I'm proud of you. He said, you're in school and you're preparing to be a 21st century preacher. I won't be there to see you graduate. He said, but I'm proud of you. He said, but just do me a favor. He said, when you graduate and they give you that degree, he said, before you hang it on the wall, take it by Calvary and dip it in the blood and sanctify it. Every time you serve, you give people an opportunity to see Calvary. Every time you show them love, you are showing them God's love. Every time you encourage them, you are giving them God's encouragement. And here's the reciprocity of serving. You not only bless them, you bless yourself. Watch what the text says. 1 Peter 3:18. Let's read it together. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Everything Jesus did pointed to redemption. healing wasn't the end when he healed. Feeding wasn't the end when he fed. It was always about redemption. It was always about helping people know Jesus. And as a disciple of Jesus, every time you serve, I need you to get this. Every time you serve, you're pointing somebody to Jesus. That's why a meal becomes a witness. That's why a kind deed becomes a witness. That's why a prayer becomes a witness. That's why a visit becomes a witness. That's why a service project can become a doorway to discipleship. Because every time you serve, you point somebody to Jesus. Here's the last thing. Then I'm going to take my seat. Number four, to serve like Jesus served, you must serve consistently. Everybody say consistently. You must serve consistently. I'm going to focus right there on verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Just underline that phrase, he went about doing good and healing. He went about doing good. Now, here's why this is important. This verse does not describe a single event. It describes a lifestyle. In other words, this wasn't a one-off, one-timey situation. Jesus went about doing good. His life was a life marked by service. Everywhere he went, he served. Every town he went into, he served. Every day he served, every opportunity he served. He served in homes, he served on roads, he served in villages, he served in crowds, he served individuals, he served children, he served adults, he served men, he served women, he served those who were outcasts, he served those who were strangers. Every day he served. It was his lifestyle. For somebody, this season to serve may be an event. My hope and my prayer is that it turns into a lifestyle for you. That every day of your life, you see opportunities to serve and to show somebody the love of God. See, because Jesus' ministry was not defined by occasional acts of goodness, your life should not be defined by occasional acts of goodness. Oh, I serve people. When's the last time? Well, you know, it was back in, well, you remember when Katrina, that was a few years ago. You remember when we had, man, that's over 20 years ago, right? Like, how can service become just a part of what you do? See, even when he was tired, Jesus served, right? Because here's what Jesus understands. There's a power in consistency. Let's take a mother's love, okay? A mother loves her child, and a mother serves consistently. Now, she may get a standing ovation one day a year, right? But I think most of us would agree, even though she cooks a great breakfast every morning, we don't stand up and give her a standing ovation when she gets through with breakfast on that morning. We don't sit there and say, oh my God, that was one of the best meals I've ever had. That was a tremendous dinner. Oh my, thank you for fixing lunch for me. Thank you for looking out for me. No, she serves when she's tired, when no one is present. When you give her a last minute project that you got to get done by tomorrow, and you had 2 weeks to give her notice, but you got to get it done now in less than 24 hours, mama is there looking out for you. And watch this, the power of a mother's love is not seen in one act. It's inconsistency in every area of that child's life. And that's because her love was not an event. It's a lifestyle. Guess what God wants from you? God is looking for people who will be consistent, whose love will be ongoing, who keep showing up, who keep caring, who keep encouraging, who keep helping, who keep serving. God has given us some tremendous opportunities. When you think back, for example, to some of our Salt and Light partners, our partnership with the Beacon is not because we showed up one time. It's because people have showed up over and over and over again. Brother Ron said, "Pastor, I want to thank you because your church has made a difference, has made an impact, not because we went down there one time, but because he can see our members." And let me tell you, the greatest joy I had in life was going down with my life group to serve at the Beacon and saw members of our church volunteering who weren't there with a group. They were just there because they felt God was calling them to volunteer there. Our relationship with Open Door Mission that has gone from us going there to do them a favor to us recognizing that God did us a favor by letting us go in there and meet those brothers. And the relationships that we have been able to develop and the growth that we've been able to see has not been because of one event. It's because of consistency. Because we kept showing up. We kept caring. We kept encouraging. We kept helping. We kept serving. Because here's what I've learned. Lives are rarely changed by one spectacular event. It is the unspectacular consistency that allows a life to be changed by your presence. Some of you serve occasionally. Some of you will serve when you're asked. But can you begin to serve as a part of your lifestyle so that it's not somebody trying to find you to get you to serve, but instead you are constantly looking for places to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? See, a whole lot of people I know will do one thing, but will they be consistent in what God calls them to do? And I need you to know, serving is who God called you to be. God wants you to develop a lifestyle of serving like Jesus so that you can be a person who keeps going about doing good. In other words, you can serve at church, but God wants you to serve being the church, that you learn how to serve in your home, that you learn how to serve in your neighborhood, that you learn how to be a servant on your job and do even beyond your job description. Now, I know what somebody's thinking, but wait a minute, they ain't paying me for that. But that's all right, because if you can do a little bit more and show Jesus a lot more. In other words, if you can do beyond what you asked, but show somebody the love of God in your service. Have I got a witness here? So you need to learn how to be the servant God wants you to be, because the blessed one called Jesus became broken that broken people could be blessed. Somebody said it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. We are who we are because of what the Lord gave to us. And now he says, if I gave it to you, give it to somebody else. Be the salt. Be the light. Be the servant that I've called you to be. You are at your best when you let God use you the most. You are at your best when you let God use you the most. When you let God work through you, yo, can I get one or two witnesses who can testify how marvelous it is when you let God work through you? And some of you think the best of your life is on the other side of you getting. And I got news for you. The best of your life is on the other side of you giving. Now, I know what some of you think. Some of you thinking, well, I've given before and I ain't got nothing. That's because you were giving to get. You were giving to get. And when you didn't get what you wanted, you stopped giving. But when you learn how to give to glorify God, you're not giving to get at that point. You're giving to show somebody else the powerful love that God gives. So I want you to learn how to serve, y'all. I want to encourage you. Serve when it costs you. Serve when it's inconvenient. Serve when nobody's clapping. Serve when nobody notices. Serve when nobody can pay you back, because you know God's going to pay it forward. Serve when the work is hard. Serve when the need is great. Serve when your body is tired. Serve because Jesus served you. Serve because Jesus saved you. Serve because Jesus changed you. And serve because it's through your serving that somebody who will never come to church will see Jesus in their midst. Because when you serve, they'll see the Lord serving through you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. I pray now, God, that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. Help us to leave here today, God, committed to being the servants that you've called us to be. God, that message is so antithetical to how the world tells us we should live. A world where we celebrate those who have a lot of servants. And sometimes we look down on those who have shown themselves to be servants. But God, help us to recognize that we're not serving for the applause of people. We're not serving to please people. We're serving so somebody can see you. That in our serving, your love for them might be experienced. And God, when they know that you love them, we know there's a greater chance of them following you, to know you as Savior, to submit to you as Lord. We thank you, God, for the privilege to be part of the kingdom work. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody who is present right now, I'm going to ask you to stand. Pastor Cam is going to come and do the invitation to discipleship today. Those of you who are watching, you have an opportunity to make a decision today as well, to say yes to the Lord. The wonderful thing about God is he loves you where you are. What's even better is he loves you so much he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to make something beautiful out of your life. He can't do it without your permission and your participation. So you got to say yes. Everyone who can't, stand on your feet wherever you are in the sanctuary, upstairs or down. Pastor Cam is coming. The word of God always deserves a response. And it's up to you to say yes or no today.
Got it together. What a powerful message. Can we thank God for the word? As Pastor was preaching, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that earlier that our outward service is an expression of our inward surrender. And the reason why many of us have no outward expression of service is because we really hadn't surrendered. Lord, I'm with you on this, but not quite on that. And anytime we serve as God has commanded us, we express that we are really surrendered to Jesus. And so today, in a real sense, the sermon causes us to check ourselves, to examine yourself. Because so much we pray, Lord, bless me, cover me, help me, do this for me. And in the same token, the Lord said, well, what are you going to do for me? I've already blessed you. I continue to wake you up in the morning. I keep you through danger, seen and unseen. And when you look over your life, your testimony is this: God has been good to me. Maybe that's not everybody's testimony, but for those of us who know that God's been good to you, won't you show some signs right now? I know that I know for a fact God has been good to me. I mean, does that resonate with anybody in here? That God has been better to me than I could even think or imagine to be to myself. And when I look myself in the mirror, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't listen. What they said, what happened, didn't happen. And so I owe God my service. Sometimes we just need a checkup. You looked around and you got food in the refrigerator. You look around and you got a car you can drive. It may be a hoopty, but it goes where it needs to go. And God has been so good to us to where we have to check ourselves and say, Lord, you know what? I really haven't surrendered like I should. And so today, we want to extend the invitation to everybody, everybody, everybody. If you're here today and you know you have not surrendered to the Lord, that means give your life to Christ. You're not in church. And if it's right to be a part of the church, it's wrong to be absent from the church. If you know for a fact that you are not in alignment with what God wants for your life, we're calling you back to the Father's love. Today's your day, and today's your moment. As the music ministry sings, come on and come this way today. Come on, sing it with us, church. You know it. Oh, Lord,
I give myself away.
So you can use me.
I give myself away.
Oh, Lord.
I give myself away
so that you can use me.
So here I am.
Here I stand.
Lord, my life
is in your
hands. Lord, I'm longing
to see.
Revealed in me.
Come on, let's lift it up, church. I give myself,
away.
We're waiting on you to give yourself and surrender to God. I give myself away.
So you can use me.
I give myself
away.
Oh God.
So that you, God bless you, my sister. Can use me, give myself away.
Oh God,
give myself away.
So you
can use me, I give myself away.
We're waiting on you to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can
use me.
Church, there was a man that went to a church one day, and it was nice sized church. Man parked in the parking spot, and somebody walked next to him and said, man, you took my place. That's my parking spot. He walked in the church, didn't say anything. Sunday school happened. And he sat down on a pew. Somebody sat next to him and said, hey, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing this Sunday, but you know, that's really my seat. You took my place. Service goes on. He sits in the service. And as he's sitting in the service, he sits in the sanctuary. Church mother, she said, baby, you need to scoot on down. That's my seat. You took my place. And so service started to get real good, and they got to singing, telling the Lord to come and show himself among them and dwell with them and stay with them. And they saw something weird happening to that visitor. When they looked around, they started to see lashes on his back. They started to see scars on his body. He lifted up his hands, and holes were in his hands. They saw that his beard had been plucked out. And somebody looked and said, man, what happened to you? He said, I took your place. And somebody here today, you need to serve God and surrender to God, because he took your place. It ain't about who's next to you. It's not about what people think about you. Listen, God has done so much for you that you need to surrender your will to him and say, God, I give myself away. Come on, let's sing it. Let's sing it.
I give myself away.
You took my place. You took my place. And I'm going to surrender to you. Say this, that my life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you, I belong. God bless you, my brother. Come on, there's still room. There's still room at the cross and at this altar for you.
My life is not my own.
To you, I belong.
I give myself.
Come on, sing that. Come on, let's sing that. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
To you I
Hallelujah.
Belong.
I give myself
to you.
Come on, my life is not my own. In the balcony, let's say it.
My life is not my own. My own.
To you I belong.
To you I belong.
I live myself. Raise that up again. My life is not my own. Hallelujah.
To you I belong.
Oh, I give myself. Hallelujah.
I give myself to you.
Church, look at a neighbor and say, are we waiting on you? Are we waiting on you?
Waiting on you.
I can't walk for you, but I can walk with you. And then look up and say, don't be scared, don't be scared, don't be scared. Let's lift it up one more time, because somebody may be debating with the devil. Don't debate with the devil. Don't delay your eternal future. Get it right with God today. Come on, let's say it again. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
To you I belong.
I give myself.
I give myself.
Yes, I do.
I give myself to you.
Let me hear you, church. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
To you.
Let me hear you sing that. Come on. That's right.
To you I belong.
I give myself.
Yes, sir.
I give myself to you.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
Yes, sir. One more time, let's sing it together. My life is not my own. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the harvest. You said long as there's seed time, there'll always be harvest time. Father, you allow the word to be the seed today. And further, Father, we pray over this our sister, over this our brother who have come, who have responded to the life-giving word. We pray, Father, that you would be with them. Help us to be the church that they need to help them as they walk on this journey of discipleship with you. We bless you. We celebrate you for what you've done in their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, can we celebrate? Come on, let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Amen. As you're going to follow those Christian workers to the designated area. Amen. God bless, God bless, God bless. Can we thank God for the best pastor anywhere? Amen, amen. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful word that we've received on today.